This morning, we can all pray for Dane. Dane is back at the projection. Wave to us, Dane. Dane is running our projection today, and I texted him yesterday because there's tons of sermon slides that have to be done at just the right moment for the sermon to be effective, but we are a people of grace. During these weeks, we have been thinking together about the radical renovation that God wants to accomplish in us. Let us pray before we look at our final construction focus, the impact of reconciliation. Pray with me. God, as we hear your words read and shared, would you open our ears so that we can hear? Free us from distractions, all those thoughts running through our minds, competing for our attention. Free us from those so that we can really listen to you. Would you open our minds, give us a glimpse of the divine? And God, above all, open our hearts. Allow us to be formed and changed by your message. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Robert Frost wrote a poem that is called Mending Walls. And if you know that poem, you'll know that there is a powerful line in it that says this: something there is that doesn't love a wall. Something there is that doesn't love a wall. There is something in our hearts that doesn't love a wall. Isn't that true? Do any of you remember August 13th, 1961? The day when the Berlin Wall went up, separating the East from the West, demonstrating the very tangible difference between freedom for one side and oppression for the other side. The erection of the wall split families. Many were even cut off from their jobs. Some of you remember June 26, 1963. John F. Kennedy was unable to stop the construction on the wall, and on that day, he delivered a speech intended to demonstrate his unity with the citizens, and he declared, "I am a Berliner." Some of us remember June 12, 1987, when President Ronald Reagan, addressing the leader of the Soviet Union and referring to the Berlin Wall, said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." How many of you remember November 9, 1989, the day the wall came down? Thousands of East Berliners flooded the checkpoints along the wall, demanding entry into the West. In the face of the growing crowds, the guards yielded. Here, East and West Berliners tear down a portion of the wall. Poet Robert Frost says this: something there is that doesn't love a wall. And now we go to today's scripture lesson. When the Christians in Ephesus heard Paul's words in our scripture for today about the dividing wall of hostility, they weren't picturing the Berlin Wall. But there was another wall that was just as hard, just as impenetrable. It was the wall in the temple in Jerusalem that separated the outer court, where non-Jews were permitted, from the inner court in which only Jews could be. Archaeologists have found inscriptions that were placed along that wall that read this: "No outsider shall enter the protective closure around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will only have himself to blame for the ensuing death." Wow. Not really welcoming or hospitable. But does it make you wonder? What kind of invisible inscriptions are written on the walls around our churches, our homes, even ourselves? What are some of the barriers we build that prevent people from experiencing God's love and becoming followers of Jesus Christ? The dividing walls that we construct, they may be very subtle. They might be quite hidden, but we know they are real. Being a Christian, A follower of Jesus is all about tearing down those walls that prevent people from experiencing the life and the light and the love that God offers, not to some people, but to all people. So let's take this scripture from Ephesians and do some personal application with it. I mean, doesn't this scripture call us to ask ourselves the question, what are the dividing walls in my life? And so I'd like you to join with me in an exercise of group confession. I want you to look deep inside your heart with honest and open eyes. And if any of the statements that I share are true to your life, apply to you now or at any point in your life, then after I say the words, let us pray to the Lord, you say, Lord, have mercy. Let's try it first. Let's pray to the Lord. If you have ever felt separated from another person because he or she was better looking, more talented, had a better job, got a better grade, lived in a better house, had something you envied, let us pray to the Lord. If you've ever thought that your community would be a better place if you could get rid of affordable housing, outsiders, people who live differently than you live, your irritating neighbors, let us pray to the Lord. If you've ever felt alienated from another person because that person was rich or poor, black or white, Muslim, Republican, Democrat, conservative, or liberal, let us pray to the Lord. If you've ever felt suspicious or separated from another person, not because of your own experience with them, but because of negative things that others have said about them, let us pray to the Lord. If you've ever had a night where it's felt like you and your spouses were worlds apart, even though you slept in the same bed, if you've ever felt that your parents were out to destroy your life or your kids were determined to make you miserable, let us pray to the Lord. If you've ever been so alone that it's felt as if you were living in a spirit of darkness, having no hope, feeling as though everyone, even God, has abandoned you, let us pray to the Lord. Are you starting to see that in one way or other, we have all been up against walls of some kind? We've all created barriers that separate us from God and others, even separate us from our own selves. But something is there that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. And that something is the loving, redeeming, saving power of God found in Jesus Christ. Here again, portions of today's scripture from Ephesians. Read aloud with me. You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross. Scripture declares that God's way of breaking down any walls that divide us from each other and separate us from God is the way of redemptive love. Redemptive love isn't easy love. It's tough love. It's vulnerable love. It's willing to get up close and personal. It's the way Jesus modeled of reaching out to people, offering relationship with everyone, even and especially the least and the lost and the left out. It's a self-giving love of Jesus Christ, revealed at the cross, where we learn that there is absolutely nothing that can get in the way of God's love for us, and we also where we learn that ultimately nothing can overcome God's love. Do you realize that we are called to be Christ's kind of self-giving, sometimes even self-sacrificing, loving people? You and I, we are called to break down any walls that divide us from others and separate us from God. It isn't easy. It's hard construction, sometimes deconstruction work. And usually breaking down walls is a process. It doesn't happen all at once. It takes time, but it does happen. The walls can come down, and new life can occur. Sometimes that new life occurs as we begin to change our attitudes, the way we see ourselves and others. And sometimes it occurs as changes that occur in someone else. When you came in today, you were given an adhesive label and were asked to wear it during the service. The label you are wearing either says, "I'm always right," or "I might be wrong." Raise your hand if you are an "I'm always right" person. Wow. Now put your hands down. Raise your hand if sometimes you might be wrong. Okay. Do you agree with the label that you're wearing? Are you wondering why that one got put on you? Does that label ever reflect your attitude? A friend of mine, he did a similar experience with his congregation, and on his way home from church, he forgot that he was still wearing his label that boldly read, "I'm always right." So at the gas station, he couldn't understand why he received such a chilly reception from the cashier. And in the grocery store, the clerk gave him a very disapproving look. And then when he got home, his teenage daughter took a look at him and said, "Actually, you're rarely right." And then he noticed the label that he was wearing. And he realized the impact of being absolutely right. You know what happens? When you are absolutely right, it stifles conversations. It makes winners and losers. It erects huge walls of separation. What label do you wear? Not what label were you given at the start of the service, but what label do you wear in your relationships, in your interactions with others, in the attitude with which you address differences of opinion or conflicting situations? Folks, if we really and truly want to break down walls and invite people into a living relationship with God, if we really and truly want to find wholeness within ourselves and in our relationships, don't we want to wear a label that says, "I might be wrong. I might not fully understand. Someone else might have something to offer. Even if it hurts, I'm willing to learn and grow." Sisters, brothers, beloved ones in Christ, remember that we are called to live a life that is countercultural, that leads us to follow not the path of the world, but the path that Jesus Christ modeled. So let's make choices. Let's move beyond retribution to reconciliation, beyond conflict into community. Let's lead people out of darkness into hope, out of oppression toward justice and compassion. Let's face our own broken and struggling relationships by doing that hard work to be brought back into right and healthy relationship with the other person. Let's deal with the pain and the rejection and the abuse that we've all experienced from time to time that has led us to erect protective walls around ourselves and instead open ourselves to God's healing touch and the healing touch of other people so that the walls, bit by bit, can be torn down. And folks, let's choose to live together as a church where we care about each other so deeply and treat each other with such grace and compassion and share such authentic relationship with each other that other people can see and experience in us God's reconciling love through the way that we are together. Beloved ones, if we commit ourselves to this way of living and being, the walls, racial, sexual, political, relational. Those walls, if not fully broken down, will at least be cracked open. And you know what happens when the wall is cracked open? Then all of a sudden, the light of hope can shine through. There is something that doesn't love a wall. And that something is the love of God found in Jesus Christ, in his life, at his cross, in his resurrection. And so we have choices to make. We can choose to build walls, or we can choose to build love and community. It really is a choice. It's a daily choice. Today, what will you choose? Amen.